brutal. I would already be shooting myself at this point.
Yeah, seriously. I wouldn't have finished this transmission.
There's some stuff happening. It's bad. See y'all later. I'm out. Out, baby.
Yeah.
Now, what is the whole... Okay, you know what? I love the cinematic quality of bringing the entire crew out on this expedition. But beyond that, though, what are they all doing there?
Well, I mean, it's just like Star Trek, where, you know, everybody beams, with all the main guys beam down and the ships.
But no, that's the thing, though. Even in Star Trek, right. Not all the main guys beam down.
Huh? No, I mean, not all the main guys, but I mean,
this
you know,
is, but this is every, but I'm saying, no, but like, okay, Rathacon.
Here, Ron. Here's the thing. They don't know what's happened here. They don't necessarily, would you necessarily want to split up your crew if you're not quite sure what's going on here? If this planet was perfectly inhabitable, but clearly something happened here that made it not
okay,
so
you
much?
Know what? In the TV, I'm saying though, like, in a television show, in like, you know, Rathacon, any other, you know,
right,
not
I mean,
everyone goes leaves. I'm like, what is Inara doing? I'm sorry.
Right. I feel you, you know.
What is Wash doing? Wash never, except for like, what
right.
was that one that's just like, war stories.
Right.
Well, war stories too.
And worse, you know,
right.
like ultimately, Wash is not meant to leave the ship, nor is Inara. Nor is, you know...
Right, which for me just tells me...
What
that,
is
you know,
Simon doing? I can see River leaving the ship. Why is
Simon's there to make sure River's
which
all
right. I guess, but...
Which for me just makes it clear that, you know, yes, this is a pure movie moment where we get all the characters together
yeah.
to discover
yeah.
the big twist, you know. And I mean, and you know, and sometimes in Star Trek you have all the guys go down, all the main guys go down. Sometimes you don't. You know, but it's always key guys that, you know, all the key leadership guys, you know, mm-hmm. that go down. Sometimes number one is up on the bridge. Most of the time he's not. You know, and but, you know, I mean, that's just because, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. And you know, these are all the big, big, big budget, you know, main character actors, and we got to get them all down
yeah.
on the ground at some point in time.
So that was just too far, it was just far too blatant, in my opinion, that, like, you know, what it was meant to be.
So, right. I hear
you.
You
not get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I just, for me, I just don't agree. You know, I don't think...
I don't think
I mean,
it's a problem
I mean,
to have everybody there.
I don't think it's a problem.
It's really like
it's
a non-issue.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's
meant to
you know,
be what?
It's meant to be blatant. You know, it's meant to be heavy-handed, but not necessarily blatant. Maybe I should change that. It's meant to be, you know, boom, these are all the characters. You know,
yeah.
Not boom, these are all the characters. You know,
that's the thing. Like, I mean, if Book was still alive, they would have brought him out there. Can you see him?
But Book is dead.
But I'm saying, though, if he were still alive, he would have been in that scene as well.
You know,
I'm saying, how awkward would that have been?
If he was still alive, I'm not even sure if he would have been in that scene. You know, if he was still alive, maybe Joss Whedon at that point would have said, wow, I've got too many characters here. I can't
yeah.
even shoot.
But
I can't
I'm
even
saying,
shoot everybody.
But I'm
know?
Saying, though, in for argument's sake,
mm-hmm.
if all the characters were, you know, that's why it feels awkward to me to have Wash there, to have Simon there,
mm-hmm.
to have Inara there.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels ultimately awkward
mm-hmm.
to have all those characters in that. As beautiful as disturbing as that scene is, as wonderful as that scene was, you know,
mm.
executed, it just feels awkward to have all the characters there.
Well, we could just disagree on that at one too.
We're just going to agree to disagree on it. Sure, you know.
Yeah.
As Brian and I have come to, Brian and I are just going to, because, you know, Brian, you're my friend, and I'm not going to, like, you know.
Did you guys say that you didn't like Mr. Universe?
Not really.
I like Mr. Universe.
He's all right, but I can see where the criticism is with him. It's like, I
wasn't
like the idea of the
so
character.
So as do I.
I don't necessarily know if I agree with necessarily the casting
or the interpretation.
Making it a little more comic than it was supposed to be.
And I read one review that made sense that like I agreed with it. Like it wasn't.
But I do like the idea of the character.
Right.
The idea behind the character is good.
One of my favorite pieces of criticism of Mr. Universe was he wasn't played crazy enough, which I kind of agree with.
I don't know. I think if you go too far with him, I mean...
Exactly, but that's the thing. Too far is too far, but this interpretation, I don't believe, was far enough. That's what I'm saying.
See, I think this was too far.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit in terms of the
comic
area.
Yeah, I can see someone going...
You know, okay, I can understand, you know, making him, like, isolate and stuff like that. He's got the fembot thing with him,
which
you
worked.
Know, who's his wife
worked,
and
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
worked,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I kind of get that, but it's like, I don't know, I guess the tone of the character just didn't really, doesn't necessarily work for me. But
is that Mal up on, yes.
Yes.
Now, okay. We're going to have a completely, and I'm, that's the thing, I didn't get this far into the Joss Whedon commentary, but I'm wondering if he's going to blatantly just say, okay, we now have sound in space.
No, they're in the atmosphere. They're just in the atmosphere.
Is that the idea?
That was the idea.
Because
the thing is, it's like, I think they're close enough to the planet to where you can justify... having sound in space, because it's not really like the heart of like
space.
Right. They're in the atmosphere.
I see that even in retrospect.
Look at the beginning of the movie. It's like it sounds like you have sound in space.
So,
but
they're
no, no. At the beginning of the movie was just a better.
It's a little more clear in that.
Yes,
part,
it is. Yes, it is.
Of the matter is, this isn't your normal planet either. It's got like this electrical field around it too, so it's like you're not exactly.
Now, you know, I realize that, but at the same time, it still seems a little blatant. But
I don't have an issue with it.
I know you don't.
I what does that mean?
And ultimately,
you don't.
And ultimately, I don't either. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like it wasn't as clear. I mean. I'm not trying to discredit, like, you know, my intelligence or anything. I see what you're saying, that it's in the atmosphere, and, you know, that gives
did you mean to say discredit my intelligence?
No, discredit my intelligence, because I'm not trying
that
to...
That doesn't even really make sense, I think.
What I was impressed with is
Let's let Dave take the floor.
Yes.
Dave.
You know, how much little money this costs to get some really, 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 really nice visual effects sequences.
Yeah.
Like
well,
this.
I mean, you know, that I think that's the advantage of having Zoic, who was long working in TV,
for
a low budget.
Right,
you know, it's like they were starting to perfect, they've been perfecting this type of stuff, you know, for a while for Joss, and it's like, you know.
Oh, it was perfect from the first episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was just beautiful.
Did choreograph this fight scene? Did Joss Whedon choreograph this fight scene?
I don't know. I don't know how it will work.
This
is really good.
Yeah, this is a really, 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 really good space battle here.
Yeah.
This is excellent. This is better than, like...
And I like it because of the fact that it's like they're not necessarily in the middle of it. They're not taking part in it. It's taking place around them.
They're
basically doing what they can to survive. And it's like...
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest themes in Joss Whedon's work, and certainly I think applies with Serenity, is the fact that, you know, it's not so much whether you win or lose, it's that you fight and that you survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to live in another day. They talk about this sequence, too, in one of the documentaries. It's really cool in terms of the visual effects.
Yeah, I mean, that's... It was like costly visual effects.
Didn't they establish in Trash, that lasers had not been developed yet?
No, they didn't.
What?
They were going after
the first handheld laser.
But I'm saying, though, wasn't that like only a prototype, though?
It was like years ago.
It was an artifact of Earth.
Do we need to put it? I'll stop this. Okay, the episode. Don't make me turn this off and put it in the episode, because
I
will.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
You know when I read some of the initial previews for this movie before actually seeing the preview that I saw.
I think I've only seen Trash once, so that's why I have to apologize.
I was always, you know...
That's right, because we didn't watch it during the marathon.
No, we didn't. We had a marathon the day, the opening day.
I was always in anticipation of, you know, what... because, you know, the previews that I read was like, you know, everybody gets hurt, you know, nobody gets through unscathed. So, you know, I was always just in anticipation of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and so when these hardcore action sequences, you know, came, I was like, okay, who's going to die? Who's going to die? Who's going to die?
Yeah. That's always a constant fear in Joss Whedon's work. It's like, okay, so how many people are going to bite it this week?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I love our discussion, you know, right before the fan screening of like, so you think he's going to kill anyone off, Brian?
Here we go. We're sitting in the theater waiting for the movie to start. The fan screening. And Ron asked me, so do you think he would kill anybody? And I'm like, Ron, this is a Joss Whedon product.
Yeah.
Of course he.
Because I have sat through every season of Buffy. I've sat through every season of Angel.
Firefly.
You know, and I think that ship destruction scene was meant to be as heavy as some of the ship destruction scenes you see in Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just sitting there almost crying because the Enterprise is blowing up.
And the reaction to this moment.
Oh my God! I mean, it,
do you not remember girls just like? Do you not remember just women just like shrieking, absolutely shrieking?
Heck, I was pretty damn close to it too. I mean, you know, it's like, oh my God, and it's so sudden.
Right.
It's so sudden the way it happened.
And Gina Torres, the way what she did with that was beautiful.
Oh, she plays it completely perfect.
Yes.
It's like, but a friend of mine, Megan, friend of mine who actually held the Firefly marathon we had before watching Serenity on opening day, brought up a good point when we were talking about it after that screening, in that, you know, when that moment hit with Wash dying, she thought of war stories, and she thought of Mal's speech of how on-ship relationships complicate things,
and how that's
exactly what he's talking about.
Right, right.
And so that is a really good point. I never really looked at it that way, but it's absolutely true. But no, I really like and we didn't mention earlier that yes, Wash and Zoe are married.
They are? Yes. Holy crap!
See, I think it gets through, but
yeah.
I know we disagree on that. But I like this scene too.
Yeah,
the way it all stops for a minute, just lets it sort of seep in for everybody else who doesn't know.
Yeah, how they kind of just address Wash's death, but almost kind of don't. You know, he ain't coming. This is it. You know, that's perfect Zoe interpretation of that moment.
Yes,
well,
yes.
The thing is, it completely makes sense in her character because she is military, so it's like she knows if you lose a soldier.
Right.
You don't have time to grieve. You just go do what you need to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we talked about how perplexing the death of Wash is, Brian. You know,
I mean,
whether or not I could see killing Book, but can I? I can't. It doesn't.
I mean, I had my own issues with the killing off of Wash.
Well, killing off any other character other than Book in the first movie.
Right.
Second movie. Please,
that's assuming there is a second.
Exactly,
movie,
but I'm saying though, but like you know,
we haven't talked about it yet, but I'm sure we might get to it in the next 27 minutes. But anyway,
but I'm saying though, you know,
but you know what? I mean, do I want Wash to die? Don't want any of these characters.
No,
to die. You mentioned it. No, you don't. But the fact of the matter is, you do have to. Because Joss Whedon is able to completely earn something like that when it comes to the story, you accept something like that in a way because of the fact that he does earn it. And
but again,
it's something that it's meant to shake you.
Yes.
And it's
and
meant to be
the shock value.
Say, nobody is safe. Nobody is.
Right.
It, you know, nobody, like I think Dave said, nobody's getting through this unscathed, you know.
Yeah. Okay, now the shock value, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But, again, coming from the aspect of, you know, I hate to run this into the ground, but average Joe moviegoer, I'm not going to feel it. Dave?
Why are you looking towards me? Because you keep coming from this average, you know,
exactly.
average moviegoer guy. That I just don't think you can you can accurately represent him.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure you can quite get into his headspace.
Okay. The only person who could, there's nobody in here who could accurately.
Yeah, I don't think to be able to get into the headspace
when it comes to this movie.
I mean,
because before
somewhat
the movie,
theorized,
we had already seen the show.
Right. Right.
The only people who can be average Joe moviegoer are the people who are going into this movie without having seen a single episode of Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
And there's nobody like that in this room.
No.
Right.
So.
And again, that's just something we're going to agree to disagree.
For me, this moment was a little cheesy. I mean, you know, we go into the, you know, the whole sex thing, which is cool. Cause, I mean, I wouldn't have sex with you, but you know, it didn't come out as classy as a moment as even, you know, when they first go into the bar. You know,
no, that's true.
That, you know, this,
that's true.
See,
I agree with you there.
This moment,
I mean, I like this moment.
I mean,
it's a
funny moment. And, you know, it's meant for the fans.
Because the reaction this moment in the fan screening was just priceless.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there was there was applause at this point, and I was one of them.
I was applauding for her.
I was applying the moment. Screw this. I'm gonna.
Yeah, and I knew, you know, Mal and the bad guy were gonna, you know, probably duke it out.
Oh yeah.
At the end, but this was sort of a duke out that wasn't quite, you know, what you typically see. It just felt a little different, you know, a little bit more original. Than some of the stuff that you typically see.
I think you know, you could sort of say that about like all of the action sequences in this. Like in the big space battle, you know, the Serenity isn't so much leading the battle, they're just surviving it.
Right.
You know, with the chase with the Reavers.
Although the initiation, the part Serenity plays in the initiation of the battle.
They're completely like, what am I trying to say?
They
set it up.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, they don't really take a part of it.
Even in the beginning, you know, I mean, typically, if you see something like that, you see, you know, the lead ship having some guy on it that, you know, is trying to get everybody together.
Oh, exactly.
And then go in. But this one, he's like tricking the enemy to come follow him in to take out the other enemy. So even then, it's somewhat original, you know, in that setup.
And I am with it at that, you know, in that aspect.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I almost didn't get to see enough of the big fight sequence, you know, with everybody, because I think what we saw was pretty dramatic and pretty well done, you know, just the big fight sequence with Zoe and everybody else.
That
fight sequence I think was actually pretty cool, and just the intercutting of all of them, I think was pretty well done.
Yeah.
Oh no, absolutely.
This guy that plays the operative, whose name I can't pronounce, but it is
the
pronunciation of it is detailed in that book that I got you, Brian.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
He's just really.
I meant to look it up before the commentary. I just never had a chance to today. But I mean, I apologize that we can't pronounce.
I'm his not gonna
name, but
myself
he is just great in this role. I mean, this is one of the great like science fiction bad guys. I mean, it really is. I think one of the most original ones too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely one of the most original ones.
And really fitting in with one of those great Joss Whedon type villains.
Right.
You know, you sort of think of him that he's sort of like early in Objects in Space.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's very much like early
very
in
much,
Objects
very much.
In Space. But
I think he's a little bit better than that actor.
Yeah,
I think they're both of the same caliber.
I think the actor.
I think this guy's better for me.
Really?
Not of the same caliber.
Yeah.
But I think the part is similar enough, you know, that, you know, there are different, you know, similarities in the way that they played it.
But yeah, just the fact that sort of the operative is actually like just waiting for Mal.
Mm.
to get over to where he is, to where they can duke it out and stuff like that. He's not necessarily going to kick a man while he's down, although, I mean, he does, but, you know, he's not going to, you know.
You know, both these characters are really well-defined in their fighting style.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah,
another
are.
Thing, you know, just.
The operative is more exacting, more lethal, and
mm-hmm.
just. I know people freaked out at the screen for that. It's like,
I'm like,
oh my God.
Everyone is going to die.
I know. I was thinking that too. It's like,
no,
God,
especially when, in a few moments when what happens to Simon
yeah,
happens.
Yeah.
You know, just like.
I mean, Jane's gotten hurt. Zoe's gotten hurt. Kaylee's
yeah.
gotten hurt.
I mean, everyone
yeah.
is down at this point.
River and Simon right now are the only ones who haven't gotten hit. And,
yeah.
Simon's not far off.
And.
Yes.
Yeah, I figured him out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, this is the part. It's coming up that, like, I loved, like, in the fan screening. Well, Nora hasn't really.
Yeah, Nora hasn't really gotten hit.
Right.
This is where I'm just like, good God, who isn't gonna buy
yeah.
a farm at this point? But this is the. I remember a guy in the fan screen just going, when the moment this guy going, oh shit, you know,
I mean,
like it's
I,
like
I,
the whole theater was so
no,
the,
I, yeah,
the whole theater was like just. Dead, so you hear
oh,
a
yeah.
pin drop, and then this one guy goes, oh shit! And
well,
like, Simon
goes, the funny thing is, I saw this movie 5 times in theaters,
mm-hmm.
and 4 of the times, the last one was at the very end of its run. 4 of the times, there were moments, that moment elicited that type of response.
Right.
And it's like, you know, and for me, I mean, I don't know if it came from a fan. I don't know if it came from somebody who was coming into the movie new.
Probably came
not.
From a fan mostly.
But the fact of the matter is, but I saw it again opening weekend with a decent sized crowd.
Separate from the opening night.
Separate from the opening night. I saw it the next day with my mother, and who's also a big Firefly fan. But, and you felt like the crowd would. You didn't. You felt like it was not a completely fan-based crowd,
mm-hmm.
and you felt, but yet at the same time, you felt them get into the story.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and her My Turn thing was a little cheesy.
Yeah,
but I don't think it was the cheesiest moment of the movie.
I felt it. At that
oh,
point.
I felt it too.
I was completely with you.
I
know,
felt it too.
It didn't feel cheeseball to me at all.
Yeah.
So
it felt a little cheesy to me.
I mean, I've heard that complaint about that scene. Actually, I know that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's classic.
Like in War Stories where he's like, what are you trying to torture me?
Or just let Mal do this alone. This is his, this is, he doesn't need.
He has to do this alone.
No, I don't!
Oh. But,
Out of Gas is probably my favorite episode.
It's probably my favorite too. That or Objects in Space.
Mm-hmm.
Objects
in Space is my favorite Joss Whedon episode.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I do have a soft spot for Outcast too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if only for the closing shot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the overall just story. You know?
Oh yeah. I mean,
how many stories does it tell? It sells like 3 stories at once, is it not?
Yeah.
Well,
it only tells really 2.
Yeah.
But I mean. I like the turn in here. I believe it.
That hurt like hell.
Yeah.
And this thing that he does right here is just brutal. Everybody was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is just horrible. but then in a typical Mal fashion, he doesn't quite kill him, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of hooks him to the thing. That's just it's almost even more cruel in a certain way. I own that. Pretty sure. I think I owned it very before that.
See how advanced it is? It's even in the future. Mm-hmm. See how it just like, you know. I really wish I could get across to you guys what my feelings are on this movie.
I think I understand.
You make it clear, and at the same time,
I don't.
It's sort of you're sort of contradicting yourself.
Yeah, I just don't think the foundation is
strong enough. I get what your complaints are about this movie, and they're legitimate complaints, but
I don't feel like I'm contradicting myself. I'm just the fact of the matter is I have many different layers of feelings. I mean, I don't think I'm contradicting myself. I don't think I'm shallowing my, you know, interpretation of my feelings on this movie. I'm just saying there are multiple levels of you know, layer upon layer of how I feel about this movie.
Yeah.
It just goes a lot deeper than I can articulate. That's the best way I can put it. Because I am not, Dave, I am not as articulate as you are. Brian, no, I am not the movie buff you are, Brian.
Yeah.
But so I can't articulate my exact unfortunately, all I can do is just tell you flat out how I feel. You know, obviously not as successfully as you guys.
Yeah.
Fan moment, just
reaction
to this in the fan screening, just unbelievable. Like people were just jumping out of their chairs.
Oh yeah.
It's a great moment, and it's a moment that you know you would hope that you would see, you know, with River, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The only one standing is her. Yeah. Everybody else is pretty much sedated at this point.
Now, did we not have our fair share? We did not have a pretty lengthy discussion on this.
Yeah, we did.
The first time we saw it. And...
Well, I mean, I
now, the second time I did believe it. I didn't believe it the first time.
I did, too. Well, I mean, I did believe the operative's choice to not to have his crew stand down.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't necessarily believe was What I didn't necessarily believe was his seeming change of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do believe it now.
Yes.
And I didn't necessarily believe that Mal, well, I mean, I'm jumping the gun here. But chances are people have already seen this who are listening to this. I did not necessarily believe that Mal would let him live. It just
I believe that.
It didn't seem like Mal. I mean, it just seemed like he would, you know, I don't know. I just didn't necessarily believe the fact they would let him live. But, I mean, I do accept it now.
Right,
I really
right.
do accept it now.
Yeah. I've had discussions
about it since then, and I do believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But,
and, I mean, you know, letting him live and the quote-unquote supposed philosophy change, you know, that, for me, I wasn't really affected by that, you know, because I didn't, I never quite saw it as that. And so the second time around was just sort of a reaffirmation for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
Another fan moment here.
right in that too.
And this is just pure Joss Whedon right here.
Oh yeah.
With
what happens at the end of this scene.
Yeah.
just great.
It's just this cue has a lot of Newman-esque qualities too.
Yes, it does.
Some fair share of Thomas Newman seeps into this. But one of the cues I actually heard the end of this at the advanced screen with the temp score was from Finding Nemo, which Thomas Newman wrote. So.
So, you know, possible sequel.
You think he's going to have horses in the sequel?
Possibilities.
Well, possible.
Vote for horses.
Universal basically said that the movie would have had to make about $80 million worldwide to merit a sequel.
That did not happen.
Don't think that happened. It made $25 million in the U.S.,
I think they basically broke
what
even.
We pretty much agreed to
was a less than worthy marketing.
But I mean, I think it's the same problem that they had marketing the show, where it's like, how in the world do you do it?
Right.
But I mean, it could still be done. I think it could still be done with more finesse than Universal was able to muster.
But, I think overall it made like 38 plus million, which is close to a break even point.
A little under was made for 45.
I thought it was made up for only 40.
No, it was about 45 in the end.
Was it 45?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oops. they might be in trouble on that.
But,
I don't know if DVD sales are going to catch you up on that.
I don't know. I mean, I like that moment with her. Or it's like,
I'm just in love with this score. I'm just so in love with this score.
Oh, the score. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was imagining her giving me a...
Dave.
Sorry.
PG-13, Dave.
Dave.
Oh.
Now, this is just bliss for me.
Oh, I love this. I mean, I quote this scene at the end of my review, actually.
This is so beautiful.
Sort of showing... Really trying to explain why I love this movie so much.
Yeah.
I love Mal so much, and why, you know, I think Joss Whedon, Mal is a reflection of Joss Whedon in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in the same way sort of Buffy was a reflection of Joss. And
one of the reviews that I read was, you know, they were saying that, you know, Joss was essentially speaking to directly to the audience, you know, at this point. Through Mal, you know.
I know I mentioned something like that in my review.
Yes. I guess I need to read your review.
I think I did in my Firefly review, too.
Well, that's the thing, though. I did not see River sitting there. You know, that was like, that caught me.
No, it caught me by surprise.
And that was one of the few surprises that I was just like,
yeah.
That was, I mean, that I just was absolutely in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a wonderful scene.
Yeah, it is.
It pretty much, you know, is reflective of my, you know, my positive feelings of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's so one. It's beautifully lit. It's just beautifully, just somber, and just one of the truly great quiet moments.
The lighting on the TV show has always been, over the top good.
And there you have it.
A perfect fan moment coming up.
Yep. Well, a perfect Joss Whedon moment.
Yeah.
You know, what was that? And then this cue right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now this is a bit reminiscent of the show.
Mm-hmm. Barry Mendel produced some of Wes Anderson's films, some of M. Night Shyamalan's movies, a few others.
All right, you want to make this review here quick, the summary?
How the hell do we summarize this, quite frankly?
I'm just sorry I can't, you know, articulate to you guys better.
Okay, just don't say too much more about it. Cause
we've heard enough. We understand. Even, you know, because I do. There is no question that I have a spot. I have a soft spot for this movie. Mm. Mm-hmm. But you know,
okay,
I just think you know, there could have been more. There could have been more. But you know, that's my feeling. I'm sorry I couldn't convince you guys otherwise. Again, we're just going to agree to disagree. So, Dave.
Yeah. No. Again, I think the movie certainly had, you know, some of his faults and issues, and you know, I of course will always be disappointed that he couldn't go into sort of the slower pace that he does on the TV show and really explore some moments and really explore some characters. But you know, overall, I do think it's a good film, and you know, I'm glad we could, you know, see another take on sort of the typical movie formula and get sort of, you know, it's just almost like a breath of fresh air in some respects. You know, his way of making this movie, even if it's a bit too much TV, like, you know, at least it happened, at least we got to see it, at least we got that take that breath, and so hopefully we'll see more refinement in like Wonder Woman, and he'll continue to grow as a film writer.
I'm trying to figure out what in the world I can say here. This is my favorite movie of the year, and I truly believe that is my favorite movie I saw this year. It's the one that's given me the most entertainment value. It's one of the best movies I've seen this year, in spite of its flaws, which come more from being a fan of the show than being a moviegoer. I can't try to, you know, I have a hard time in this case trying to distinguish from being just a film aficionado and a fan of the TV show because of the fact that, for me, Joss Whedon shows have always been as important to me as movies have been. There are some issues in terms of the way some characters are developed or underdeveloped, as the case may be. You know, there's not enough, you know, you would think that if this were the TV show, he would take a longer time to develop this story, which basically ended the major story arc of the entire show, which is the origin of, which is the true meaning behind River character. You know, I mean, I go back to something I said earlier in the commentary where this film is a completely different medium from TV, and you have to look at the film as exactly that. This is not the TV show. This is something very different. And, I mean, even Joss Whedon realize that, and the fact that he is able to tell a story that he clearly wanted to tell, I feel his love for this universe throughout every frame of this movie. That's part of the reason I love it. It's a movie that, for me, entertains me on a number of levels. And I wish that this movie had been the success that he envisioned, that I had in my mind that it could be, and it's funny given the fact that, you know, a lot of people complain about, you know, we've been in this box office slump all year where it's like, you know, well, you sort of get the feeling that maybe people are sort of not really interested in the same old anymore in movies, and yet here's something that is very, very original to movies. And they don't show up. It really makes you wonder what goes through the average moviegoer's head when they see something like this. They complain about not seeing anything original, and yet they don't go see a movie that, in my opinion, is one of the most original movies of the year. I can't explain that. I'm sure there are some people who try to explain it. I don't think it can be done, but that's as far as I can really go with this now without repeating myself, as I'm sure I've done describe these closing credits. So this is Brian Scuttle.
Ronnie Haynes.
Dave Moss.
And this is Yahoo. This is Michael Moss.